Father, I thank you for this wonderful place. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. I thank you for the word of the Lord that's so anointed in this place. We thank you for our pastors, our leaders, Lord, our faithful team members and the faithful partners of our church, Lord, that they're faithful to pray and faithful to bring their supply to this wonderful place we call Heart of the Bay Christian Center. We honor you tonight. And thank you, Father, for what you have for us tonight in Jesus' mighty name. May it bless every heart. May it lift and bring hope and bring joy in Jesus' mighty name. Can you say amen? Amen. I believe in the anointing of God. I follow in the footsteps of some wonderful pastors and ministers that have taught us about the anointing of God. It's not about notes. It's about utterance. It's about the anointing of God. And like Sunday morning, I got through, I guess, maybe 3 pages of notes. I wasn't hardly using them, actually. So today I said, when the opportunity came up, I said, well, let me have a look. And it didn't take long for me to say, yeah, I better do a part two. So I'm glad that I could share a part two. Why am I glad to share a part two of what the world needs now is your love? Why am I so excited about that? Because it's so where we live. It's where we live. We have so much tension, or I should say potential tension, in our neighborhoods. We have potential tension in our among siblings, parents, sons and daughters. How about friends? How about brothers being at odds with each other? Hey, it's part of a fallen world, but we have an answer called Jesus. And he's given us instruction on how to live above, I said above, the strife. That's the lowland. The strife is the lowland. And so tonight we have another example or two of how the patriarchs, how they overcame strife and how horrible strife is. I don't think I could stress upon you just how horrible strife is. And I'm going to issue this one bit of encouragement. When you feel that your relationships are strained, learn the secret of getting help on time. We need help with our relationships. Talk to a friend. Talk to a pastor. Get counseling. Well, it's easy for you to say that. It's easy for me to say that. I got counseling. I went through a couple of rounds of counseling before they got me straightened out. Right, honey? That's right. She says right. Yeah, I had to go through a couple rounds. Because why is it? Because things in life, everybody say it's complicated. Children did not come with a manual. I think I'm going to come over here and preach to Mike. I said children did not come with the manual.
That's right.
And there was no warranty.
No, neither did marriage.
And as much as we tried with our warranties with marriage, or it's just, there are always surprises. And I might just say that on planet Earth, those surprises are typically not good surprises. They're like really bad surprises. Can I get a witness here? Is that right, Lemon? Ed? So yeah, learn how to get help. I mean, if nothing else, you get nothing else out of this message, get this. Know when you're in trouble and to reach out for help.
Amen.
And help is available. I mean, there are some really great counselors. There's a spirit of counsel in the Word, but there's also other, you know, marriage counselors or family counseling, things like this, that I have taken full advantage of. And it has been to my advantage. And the one that's more than a conqueror is my wife, because I'm a lot nicer, right, hon? I'm a lot nicer. She says right, okay. Anyway, moving right along. We cannot stress the importance of love in the Christian walk, or actually in this existence here on earth. I'm going to borrow from the opening text from our Sunday morning crowd, which was Matthew 22, verse 36 through 40. And it said like this in the New King James. A leader said, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." Then he got a little bonus there. And the second is like it. You shall love your what? Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I'm going to read it now from the Amplified Version. It says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it." In other words, it's also great, right? And it says, "You shall love your neighbor." Is that right? "As yourself." That is, watch this, unselfishly seek the best or higher good for others. The whole law and the writings of the prophets depend on these two commandments. The entire paradigm of a real mature Christianity is one that is not me-centered. It's others or you-centered. Always looking for how can I help you. And I might just say this. These are the people that have the happiest marriages. They have the happiest family relationships. They're the happiest Christians serving in church happily because they've learned the secret of serving others and not looking after the almighty I, me, and myself. Hallelujah. I can tell it's real exciting here in the house. You know, I'm really not here for the excitement. I'm here for the growth. Hallelujah. So I'm going to make a case for love here just for a few moments. It says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1a in the Amplified Classic, it says this. It places love, listen to this, it places love in the same footing as the manifestations of the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. I don't know if you caught that. The writer elevates the love walk in the same category as the gifts of the Spirit. So if you want to come to me and talk to me about raising the dead and emptying wheelchairs and lifting this and opening blind eyes and all this, that, and the other, and you don't have a love walk, you haven't really done what needs to be done in the Christian walk. Let me read this for you. It says this, and I'm in the Amplified Classic, 1 Corinthians 14:1a. It says, "Eagerly pursue, seek to acquire this love, make it your aim, your great quest, and earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowments." Those are the gifts, right? "Especially that you may prophesy, etc." The rest of the chapter, in fact, what started, you know, as he starts the dissertation of these powerful gifts, right, that we've been talking about. Pastor's been talking about the power gifts, the gifts that say something, the gifts that reveal something, the gifts that do something. But right here in the middle of that, it says, "Pursue and make it your aim, this love walk." Think about that, friends. Think about it. All right. And then I'm going to go ahead and skip down to the New Living Translation of 1 Corinthians 13. Well, you know this scripture, and it says that although I speak with tongues of men and of angels, is that right? On earth and angels, but didn't love others, I would be only a noisy gong and clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge and I had such faith, the gift of faith, brother, I can move the mountains, right? Uh-oh, looks like right now I can move the water. Watch. It says that if I don't have love, what does it say? If I had such faith that I could move mountains, but I didn't love others. Did you catch that? But I didn't love others. I would be nothing. And I'm not going to go any further. You get the picture. He has elevated love as a qualifier. We need to understand the reason why there were, in my humble opinion, the reason why there were so many tremendous miracles under the ministry of Jesus is not that he had so much power, but he did have power because he was so anointed, and he was anointed, but it's because he had compassion on the people. He would go out and he would be moved with compassion. And things would happen. The gifts of the Spirit would flow out of him as he was walking in compassion. Do we want to get people healed just so we could say, yep, last week I raised 5 people from the dead. Yep, I emptied the first floor of Kaiser last week, and next week I'm going to, let's see, that was 35, and now I'm so many. Put that on our memos that we have the count and the amount. Wait a minute. These are not numbers. These are people. And the sooner we get that Jesus is a personal Jesus. Every miracle that you're going to get in your life, will be because you made a personal connection with a personal Jesus. Not some generic thing with a guy with white patent leather shoes that came into town. But you made a personal connection with a personal Jesus, and like Keith Hershey says, I love the way he says that, you had a believing moment, a trusting moment, where you cast it onto him and received him as your healer in that moment. And amazing things happen when there's love coming from him, love going to him, and his vessels are full of love and compassion. Amen, everybody? So let's make sure that we understand that those gifts operate through love. Amen. So love is placed, if not in the equal basis, you might say even a little bit more. It's like the safety valve for the gifts of the Spirit. That place is in a pretty strong place. And notice that humility has a strong part to play. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10 in the NIV talks about how, let me just read it. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from what? From his love, you have to receive his love. Amen. If any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same what? Having the same love. And I want you, I don't know, going through some of these scriptures, it might just spark something in us when we read these scriptures, because we understand there's power, there's anointing, and there's all these wonderful things, but he's really making love a central theme. Can you see that tonight? You go out to reach people for Christ, not because you just want to get a number on the roll. I want another sinner to Jesus. You know, it's because you love people. I wonder if May loves people. I wonder if you just love people. You just can't stand the thought of people being lost. You can't stand I'm looking at many friends around here. You can't stand the thought of people being hurt, lost, sick, confused. Something in you turns and it's compassion. And you say, I have to do something about this. And the anointing, it just flows out of you and you bless people. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's move on. So, lest you should think that I'm exaggerating this. This is one thing I really wanted to read this on Sunday morning, but I wasn't able to. One more. Give me one more scripture, a number of scriptures that I'm going to read regarding the importance of love in this role of operating as a Christian in the earth arena. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 18 in the Passion Version. And this is a prayer that we pray often, but I want you to see, just watch how the word love and the concept of God or Christ's love shows up in this and how it opens the door for things that are beyond our comprehension, things that are beyond our earth arena. Amen. Listen to this. So I kneel humbly in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the perfect Father of every father and child in heaven and on the earth. And I pray that he would unveil within you, watch, the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. Hallelujah. Now, I realize King James says, until you be rooted and grounded, you know, we want to be rooted and grounded. I love the way it says it in the Passion. Then you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ. Friends, you want to go out and bless your world? You know what the world needs now is your love. You want to bless them? You can't give what you don't have. We need to bring it up a notch in receiving and believing and the love of God. We, you know, unless we receive it, unless we believe it, and unless we operate in it, how are we going to be able to give it to other people? You can't give what you don't have. I love what Peter said when he's going to the Gate Beautiful. The person's begging. He said, look on us. The guy looked up expecting to receive some money from him. Silver and gold have I none. But what? Come on, friend. Such as I have. He knew he had something. You've got to believe that the love of God is so powerful. It never fails. It never gives up. There's no law against it. And such as you have, you can give it. It has substance. It's got power. It's got passion. And it's got the ability to open a heart. Love can do that. That's love, the power of love. Hallelujah. I think, and some people have said this, I don't really want to hear what you have to say until I know how much you care about me. Yeah. Well, you know what? Love, God's love is all over the place. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Is that right? Yeah. And this is love manifested while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Love, there was passion all over it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So let's keep going here because we're going to get into your business in just a little bit. On Sunday morning, we covered the story of the parable of the Good Samaritan. And remember the second commandment that Jesus quoted over there in Matthew says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, right? So there's a couple of things we could talk about neighbor, but I love what happened in the parable of the Good Samaritan. This arrogant, I don't know if he was a Pharisee or he was one of the leaders. He said, who's my neighbor? Trying to test Jesus. So Jesus said, let me tell you a simple story. And he told a story about a guy that fell among thieves, right? We're just reviewing. And then there were several people that were passing by him, but there was a lowly Samaritan that came by, and it says he had compassion on him, and he took him up, and he bound his wounds. So, you know, just a simple, we're talking about an act of, everybody say love. Love. This is love in action, doing something, love in action. Then he took him to the inn. He said, take care of him. Here's some money. If you, whatever you need, whatever he needs, give it to him. If I owe you something back, I'll come back, put it on my tab. We mentioned Sunday morning, love always costs. There's no such thing as cheap or free love. The 60s and 70s had it wrong. There's no such thing as free love. Real love will cost you. It'll cost you time. It will cost you attention. It will cost you money. Hello. Hello. It'll cost you inconvenience. You'll have to sacrifice a little bit of what you want to do. Well, maybe a lot of what you, that's why many, many relationships break up because all they're doing is they're thinking about, everybody's thinking about themselves. But you see, to get the eyes off yourself onto what the other, if you could just see what the other person needs, just take a minute and try that sometime. Yeah. It works wonders. Yeah. I said it works wonders. Yeah. It's not my idea. It's in the Bible. It's what the Bible says. So hallelujah. So anyway, the story of the Good Samaritan, praise the Lord. So he was a good neighbor, not State Farm. The Samaritan was a good neighbor. So let's talk about some practical applications about a good neighbor. First of all, Zechariah chapter 8, verse 16 and 17 in the King James Version. I'll just read these fairly quickly. Oh boy, okay. These are the things that you shall do. Speak every man the truth to his neighbor, execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates, and let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor. And love no false oath, for all these things, these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. Now, I'm going to read something. I'm just going to throw it in there because I think something ought to be said. Proverbs chapter 6, 16 through 19 in the Amplified Classic. Why not? I might as well tell it because this is all over our world. I hope it's not all over your house. I mean, you have to stand against this. But this is how people treat each other. Listen to this. These six things the Lord hates. Indeed, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a spirit that makes one overestimate himself and underestimate others. A lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that manufactures wicked thoughts and plans. Feet that are swift to running to evil. A false witness who breathes out lies even under oath. And watch, the seventh one is he who sows, listen, discord among his brethren. And I'm going to put their neighbors. Brethren, neighbors, family. I'm okay with that. Are you okay with this? Notice what it says in the NLT. A person who sows discord in a family. The CEV says, who will stir up trouble in a family. The NIV says, a person who stirs up conflict in the community. It says in the NIV, or rather in the AMP, the one who spreads discord and rumors among brothers. The Message says, a troublemaker in the family. Good News Translation, someone who stirs up trouble among friends. A person who spreads conflict among relatives. That was the good God's word. And the AMPC, one who spreads discord and rumors among brothers. Friends, this is so abominable to God. For you, for anyone to be used in this fashion to spread rumors, to start up conflict, to show a little seed of doubt. Somebody could be working on a relationship for years and years and finally getting someplace, trying to get back their relationship. And I might be careless and say something and spread and cast doubt on the veracity of the relationship or the character, and that might just destroy years of work that the Holy Spirit has been working on. Are you listening to me? The Bible is a love story about reconciliation. That's what it's about. It's about God having his family, losing his family, and trying to get his family back. It's time to declare war on strife, division. Come on, friends. Come on. And evil things that come and break up, separate fathers and mothers from sons and daughters. Or how about siblings against each other? Or how about brother against brother? Sister against sister? Mighty quiet in this first church. This is good. Wow. But these problems are not rare. I know what I'm talking about. These problems persist in our world. There are people at odds with each other all over the place. You don't even have to look hard to find it. But when you do encounter it, use the power of God and let the compassion of Christ well up on the inside of you. And if it involves you personally, I implore you to operate in forgiveness and use your faith, because like the disciples discovered when Christ was asked, how many times do I have to forgive this person that's sinning against me already? And then one version says 7 times 7, and another one, I think it's in Luke, says 70 times 7. Either way you slice it, it's
hard to do. And so he said, you know what their response was? 70 times 7 or 7 times 7. They kind of looked at each other probably, and they looked at him and they said, increase our faith. That's the only time I've ever heard anybody in the Bible say increase our faith. It has to do with strained human relationships. Think about that. Strained human relationships. So now that we're there already, let's look at Micah chapter 7, verse 6. For a son dishonors his father. A daughter rises up against her mother. A daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the members of his own household. There's nothing new under the sun. Look what it says in Micah 7, 6 in the Message. Neighborhoods and families are falling to pieces. The closer they are, sons, daughters, and in-laws, the worse they can be. Your own family is the enemy. In many cases, that's true. And sometimes, you know, I'm just going to say this. Are y'all believing with me? Because I don't want to just spout things off and run out of time and not say what needs to be said. As much as is in you, walk in peace with all men. You do the best that you can. We said this Sunday, sometimes distance needs to happen. And I'm going to repeat it because I think it was pretty good and it wasn't me. I think God put that in there. You may put a distance. Yeah, we're going to go there. You may have to put a distance between you and a relative and put a little boundary or this and that. There's nothing wrong with that as long as when you're in your state of being distanced, you don't have bitterness in your heart. Amen. Are you listening to me? There's a difference between having a bitterness or a hurt in your heart that hasn't been turned over to God, to putting the relationship over onto God, forgiving, pleading the blood of Jesus over it, and really loving, listen, loving from a distance. That's a real thing, friends. Versus you being apart and just stewing. I'm so mad. I'm so, you know, if I see them, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. That's not going to hurt. That's not going to help anything. Amen, somebody. Amen. It's not going to help anybody. Praise the Lord. So human relationships. Wow. So anyway, in Genesis 13, now we're going to talk about this. Genesis 13, 7 through 18, and we'll see how much of this I'm going to just synopsize or how much I'm going to read. It's a story or the account of Abraham and Lot's herdsmen that get into it. Here's relatives that are really blessed. You'd think they'd be really happy because they're so blessed. But instead, what happened? It says in verse 7, so disputes broke out between the herdsmen of Abram and Lot. At the time, the Canaanites and Perizzites were also living in the land. And I want to see what it says there, that a dispute broke out, different words. King James Version says a strife broke out, NIV quarreling, NLT disputes broke out, fights broke out. And you know what I'm talking about when voices are raised and like, it's like, oh Lord, not again. Your blood pressure goes up. You're just like, ugh, I need to go get an ice cream or something. The voice says arguments, right? So you all, I mean, come on. Are you guys so holy and saintly that you've never, the voices were never as heard a discouraging word? I mean, that's a nice song sentiment, but folks, we live in the real world. Voices are raised up. Words are said in a passion of the moment, and not good passion, bad passion. We have to know how to deal with these things to be more than conquerors. Amen. Amen. So then finally in verse number 8, Abram said to Lot, let's not allow this conflict, everybody say conflict, to come between us or our herdsmen. After all, we are close relatives. You could put in whatever it is, and you know, we are close friends, you know, we're brothers. You know, we're close employees. We've been working for 30 years together. Let's not let this dumb thing, don't let a dumb thing break down something that you've worked so hard for. I didn't get a very good amen on that. Oh, well. Anyway, it says, then Abraham said this, the whole countryside is open to you. Take your choice of any section in the land you want, and we will separate. There's the principle of separating without being in strife. Yes. Watch this now. If you want the land to the left, I'll take the land on the right. If you prefer the land on the right, then I'll go to the left. There is such a trust in God that regardless which way you go, I know I'm blessed. Friends, as long as you do not harbor strife in your soul, you are blessed whether you go to the right side or the left side. God will see to it that you're blessed. So let's look at the natural picture of this. On one side was a real lush place. It looked like greenery and the cities were developed. Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, that looks really great. Not everything that glitters is gold, friends. So then here's Abraham. Fine, fine. You go that way. I'll go this way. And he goes into, you know, dry, barren. You see the little tumbleweeds going by. It looks really, really dry. But there's a difference between going to some place that it looks like the grass is greener over there versus what looks like it's very dry. What's the real truth about the matter? The truth of that about the matter is wherever, whoever ended up with God got the upper hand. And Abraham got God. I can't say the same for his nephew. Sorry, Lot. Sorry about that. So it says that what happens is that after, in verse 14, after Lot had gone, the Lord said to Abraham, look as far as you can see in every direction, north and south, east and west. I'm giving all this land as far as you can see to you and your descendants as a permanent possession. I will give you many descendants that like the dust of the earth, they cannot be counted. Go and walk the land and so forth and so on. And I'm going to point something out in verse 18. It says, so Abram moved his camp to Hebron, a real dry place, and settled near the oak grove belonging to Mamre. And it says that he built another altar to the Lord. No matter where you go. Well, somebody took half the company, or they took three quarters of the company. They only left me 1/4. I'd rather have 1/4 of the company and build an altar before God and worship God there and let God do his thing than to run off with 3/4 of the company without God.
Amen.
That's the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. Just a thought. As long as you've got God, you got it. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. So let's see. We don't have to go all night. God, you're listening so well. Praise the Lord. There was the one that we touched that day. Mm-hmm. First of all, I just want to make another shout out to the idea that we're supposed to be peacemakers. It says in Matthew 5:9, you're blessed when you can show people, this is in the message, Matthew 5:9, you're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we're blessed and we're supposed to be peacemakers. Amen. I want to see something here. Oh, what should I do, Lord? Okay. I'm just going to touch this because I kind of missed it on Sunday morning. I didn't have the exact scripture. But you remember the story about Joseph, right? Joseph gets betrayed by his brothers and something happened. You can know when there's a real problem in a relationship when you can't even talk to each other. And I remember this, that they hated. They hated him. And the way that it's described that they hate him, verse 4 and verse 8, they say they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Then in he told his dream, you know, he had a dream, told them the dream, and they hated him even more. And notice what it said in the message. They grew to hate him. They wouldn't even speak to him. In some cases, you're not even on speaking terms. You can't, I mean, I don't know about you, I said this Sunday morning, I don't know about you, but you know that when somebody has canceled their phone number, blocked you, and unfriended you, you've been dissed, you've been cut off, like, you do not exist, I want you out of my life, get out. It's like, wow, okay. That's a strong thing. It happens all the time. You'd be surprised. Okay, show of hands. I won't say, not, this isn't too specific. How many of you have ever been unfriended? The hands are going up. See, just about, I'll say a lot of hands have gone up in the house. Unfriended. And I didn't even know what that was. And that's something new for me. I didn't even have Facebook. You become unfriended. Somebody just cuts you out and say, out. You have nothing. I have nothing to do with you. Now check this out. It gets to a place where in the Amplified, it says they hated him and could not find within themselves to speak to him on friendly terms. Amplified Classic. Could not say peace in a friendly greeting or speak peaceably to him. The voice. They grew to hate him and couldn't find it in themselves to speak to him without resentment or argument. NIV. They could not speak a kind word. Holman. They could not bring themselves to speak peaceably. God's Word. They hated Joseph. Could not bring speak to him on friendly terms. Which I'm going to say this. As long as the line of communication is open, praise the Lord, you have something to work with. Just pray. Pray over those relationships. But when the line of communication is closed, make sure that the line of communication between you and the Heavenly Father is wide open. Amen? I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to have a show of hands, but I'm sure there are many people that your relationships, you have been completely cut off. And that's not an easy place to be. But God is able to help in a time of need. Amen? So look what it says. I already did that one. Oh, yeah. So I wanted to say that I kind of missed this on Sunday morning. That was Genesis chapter 50, verse 15 through 20. We should do our best not to take things so personal. Remember, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, right? What does the Bible say in Ephesians 6? It says we wrestle against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. So the moment we start getting mad at people and making that our focus, we've already lost the battle. But if we make our focus that we're gonna love these people and we're gonna bind the spirit behind them that's operating, that's blinding their eyes, that's bringing misunderstanding, that's bringing hurt and resentment, you take authority over things like that, God has an avenue to work. Amen? Notice what it says here. Let's see. He says, when Joseph's brothers saw that his father was dead, and that's Genesis 50, verse 15 in the New King James, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us. Remember, they hated him, right? So maybe he'll hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him. So they sent messengers to Joseph saying, before your father died, he commanded saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers. I wonder if that was for real or if they made that up. I wouldn't put it past them. Never mind, they're desperate. Brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Please forgive the trespass of the servants of God, of your father, so forth and so on. Now watch this. When they went down and met with Joseph, they fell on their face before him, and they said, behold, we are your servants. And note, I love this example. We've got to follow this example. Because when we're in a position where someone has truly wronged us in a very strong way, we have to understand, after forgiving and releasing them, this is what our attitude should be. Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant it evil against me, but God meant it for what? For what? For good. In order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. God was so good and gracious. That was his plan. And there are some things you're not, I'm just going to say, there's some things you're not going to know and not understand. You're just going to know what's right in front of you. This is my commandment, that you love one another. But they unfriended me, that you love one another, that you forgive one another as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Is that right? Do what you know to do, and then you can get help. Praise God, from friends, but make sure you hit your knees and get help from heaven. Amen? Amen? So now, notice what it says. I want to make a case for restoration. In Romans 8:28, it says, we know that with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good to those who love God. I've got a question for you. Do you love God?
Many times we say that all things work together. A lot of those things are the relationships in our lives. God will cause the relationships in our lives, praise the Lord, to turn for good for those who love God and those who are called according to His plan and purpose. Praise the Lord. And it says in the New King James, we know that all things work together for good. How many of you heard that scripture before? But there's a disclaimer for those who love God. Remember our very first scripture, our theme text? It says, what's the first and greatest commandment? You've got to love the Lord your God. Is that right? Heart, soul, mind, strength, your everything, right? What's the second commandment? Love your neighbor. Is that right? So remember, you've got to keep that love for God going and then follow His commandments. Is that right? Don't accept hurt. Don't accept offense. Oh my gosh, we could pray on offense. I mean, speak on offense for days, but we're not going to because we're sharp. We're fast. Praise the Lord in this building. Is that right? So it says this. It says, speaking of recompense, we're instructed in Scripture, do not avenge yourself. Do not seek for payback, revenge, or plan a counterattack. That is not what Christians do. Come on, somebody. Romans 12, 19 through 21. I've got to get the scripture in before I stop. It says, don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. Can you trust God with that, with those relationships? I'm asking you. I'm imploring you, trust God. And if you don't, if you think, if you're in a place where, oh, all my relationships are hunky-dory, we have warm fuzzies all over us, every gathering, every time we get together with every relative and every friend in every situation, we just have warm fuzzies. Well, good for you. That might change sometime. That in the real world, that's not been my experience. There's always if the apostles could get into it, I mean, let's face it. Paul and Barnabas got into it about Mark, you know. So sharp was the contention that they even split up from each other. Fine, I'll go my way and you go. I mean, that happens in church. I mean, you know, it does happen, you know. Stay happy, everybody. Stay happy. I just want to encourage you about God's going to take care of it. Isaiah 61, 6 and 7 in the NIV says this. Let me read, just wash those things in your soul with these. And you will be called the priests of the Lord. You will be named the ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of the nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. Instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit... You will inherit a double portion in your land, right in the land where you are right now, in the nasty now and now. you're going to inherit a double portion. I believe that. I believe that right now. It says, inherit a double portion in your land and everlasting joy will be yours. The message says this, because you got a double dose of trouble and more than your share of contempt, your inheritance in the land will be doubled and your joy go on forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you glad that God is a God of recompense? He will take care of it. Just trust me. He will take care of it. Praise the Lord. I'll just closing comments. God is a God of reconciliation. And He's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And sometimes some of those relationships. Remember, we're not reconciling, you know, motorcycles and bicycles. You don't have to reconcile a motorcycle. You need to reconcile people. People. It's a wonderful thing. And I have my sights set on reconciliations. Hallelujah. How many will set your sights on reconciliations? Praise the Lord. I'm almost done here. I've got just about 1 minute. Praise the Lord. Let's see. We should know what we're doing. We should love life and see good days. We should refrain our tongue from evil. 1 Peter 3, 10 through 12. And we should do what it says in the Amplified Classic. Don't merely desire peaceful relations with God, with your fellow men, and with yourself, but pursue and go after them. You need a plan, friends. You need to pray.
I know one relationship was very dear to me. I spent years praying over that relationship, and God gave me utterance by the Holy Spirit. I got utterance to pray for that relationship. In that case, that relationship was completely severed, but God restored it. And I want to thank God for it. I want to thank the Lord for it. Hallelujah. It says, don't just kind of desire it, but pursue it and go after it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, those who are upright in right standing with God, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. Listen carefully. In reference to tonight's topic, his ears are open to your prayer when you're working peace and you're working reconciliation and you're working the love of God and massaging relationships so that God could get the glory. Amen? Lord, thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that you've made us able ministers of reconciliation. The ultimate reconciliation, really, is to get lost people in connection with a loving God. That's the ultimate, God. Thank you that you have enriched us, you've anointed us, you've appointed us. And I pray, God, that you would help us to further develop and amplify the redemptive potential of our ability to reach souls for Jesus. To help people get personal with Jesus in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. And Lord, right now, we just agree together for the relationships in our families, the relationships in our job, the relationships, Father, in our circles. You know our brothers, our sisters, our moms, dads, grandpas, grandmas, Lord. You know the areas where things are broken down. You know where things are strained. And we thank you, Lord, that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. So we're asking, God, that you would give this congregation the ultimate in prayer directions so that we could effectively win souls, win relationships back to one another, to you, and back into fellowship with us in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. I'll just leave this one scripture. It's easier for a man to take a city than to win a brother offended. I'm going to say that's in the natural. Comes out of the Proverbs. I believe that with the power of God, even someone that's offended could be won. Why do you say that? Because Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. And that city was mighty fortified. Come on. And the walls came down. I declare and prophesy that as you stand on the word of God and on the ministry of reconciliation, you too will see the personal walls come down between mother and father, grandfather, son, sister, friend. You will see the walls come down and Jesus will be glorified. And love will flow like a river because he's the God of reconciliation. Hallelujah. And when the enemy comes in like a flood with bad news, with insults, with hurtful things, the Spirit of the Lord comes in and lifts up a standard against that. And as you cooperate in your prayer life, regarding the love of God and concerning the will of God, the perfect will of God for these people that surround you, you will find the walls come, say it, down. Hallelujah. Let's give Jesus a shout.